This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Alec Murtaugh denied a new trial, at least from this round with Judge Toll, despite the fact that a juror, Juror Z, as they were named in the hearing, flat out said, yes, Becky said these things to me. Yes, Becky's statements to me influenced my decision of guilt. And even then, Judge Toll still said, nope, I think the verdict will stand. At least that's where it is right now until it goes to another appellate court. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jennifer, were you surprised by what we saw in court the other day?
I wasn't surprised, but I want to tell you why. I wasn't surprised when we saw the hearing that led up to this hearing. And when I saw Judge Toll completely narrow in what they had to show. In other words, there was going to be no extraneous information about Hill. Hill was not going to be on trial. It was really going to boil down to just what was said. And she added the caveat that it had to have been intended to, cause tampering. Mm-hmm. Intended to tamper, not just a thought that she said or in passing. When I saw that narrow focus, I thought, oh my God, there's no way they're going to be able to prove that because you'd have to get into her mind.
Yeah. Well, and how can you say that the intent is there, then that's what's going to influence. Intent doesn't even matter in reality if Becky Hill had that intent or not. If it made the impact that it did, then it made the impact that it did. I kind of felt like going into this that Judge Toll had already made up her mind of, this is not going to go anywhere in my courtroom. And I do halfway wonder about, did Judge Toll just not want to be the person to give Alec Murtaugh a new trial, knowing full well that, if these arguments are to be made in an appellate court down the road, it may actually go somewhere, but Judge Toll didn't want to have their name attached to this.
Yeah, it is interesting. And again, it was really one juror, but as we all know, it only takes one juror to hang a jury and to not have a finding. So that one juror is quite important. I think that obviously they're going to continue to appeal this clear up to the highest court. And I do think, though, Tony, some of this just is a matter of law and of precedent. And interestingly, I think this case is sort of making some precedent. At least Judge Toll said that, right? She said she'd never had a case where it happens, months after the verdict's been turned in. It always is something that's going on during trial. So she said she found herself in new waters. And I think she laid the groundwork and the precedent, but she certainly used other cases to say, listen, they have to have purposely been trying to derail the jury.
It's a weird precedent to set. I mean, you go into a room and you say things that you're not supposed to say, whether you realize you're going to have an impact or not. If they have an impact, they have an impact. That just seems to be a very undefinitive precedent to be setting. And it also does seem to set a precedent here too of, look, I guess the clerk of court, wittingly or unwittingly, can say things in a South Carolina courtroom or with a jury, and it may have influence, it may not. It doesn't really make a difference either way because we're not going to consider that to be influence. It's a weird gray area that doesn't seem to have been settled at all in that hearing the other day.
Yeah, and, Judge Toll, because it really came down to, in a sense, a he said, she said a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you had basically 12 people against one, right? Because the other jurors, definitely did not side with the one juror that said she was influenced and she heard these things. And of course, Hill said she didn't say them at all. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting that Judge Toll really didn't find her necessarily to be that credible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but, she did question her because of that literary license, right?
Yeah.
that Hill used really when she was plagiarized part of her book. So anyway, I think that it's going to be interesting as it goes up to the next level to see if they get a hearing and to see if it could possibly overturn. I think it's a slim possibility, but I think it's a possibility.
Is there any investigative work going on right now behind the scenes, or would there be any sort of investigative work going on behind the scenes about influence with that juror Z? And I'm not suggesting any sort of improprieties here, but it is rather odd that 11 of the other jurors said, no, this did not happen. I never was influenced by Becky, and I don't recall her ever stating anything to this point. But this one certainly does, and certainly says it affected her decision. It does make you wonder a little bit, just knowing the track record of Alec Murdaugh and the lengths that he will go to cover up his own indiscretions and such. Could there be some sort of influence going on here to have one state that, yes, Becky did in fact do this? Again, it's just speculation. I know nothing about this juror, but it just does seem a bit curious.
It does seem curious, and I believe Judge Toll thought it seemed curious. It's unusual to have everyone say one thing and one say another. But I think they'll let the sleeping dog lie. I don't really think that they're going to ramp up an investigation on this juror. Where I could see that could happen is if anything's reversed. But again, I think it's so slim of a chance because the judge who, oh my gosh, her resume was unbelievable when I was looking at it. She just has so much experience. And so I think certainly her interpretation of the law for an appellate court to overturn that is really going to take a lot. And her belief is that there was no nefarious, she didn't say anything nefariously, if she said anything at all. So I think it's going to stand.
What does it matter, though? Back to that again. What does it matter if it was nefarious or not, if something was said?
Well, I think the big problem is, again, it's 11-1 that anything was said. So now we not only have to believe something was said, but we have to believe this juror was truly influenced. So now we're looking at just completely believing this juror over 12 other people. And I think that's where the rubber met the road, in a way, with Judge Toll and her decision.
Do you think, as this inevitably goes down the appellate process, and there's many other courts that can hear this, Alec, by many accounts, is at least three more courts down the road before someone's going to say, okay, enough. Do you think he's going to get another trial? Do you think one of these other courts is going to take this up and go, yeah, look, this was said. The juror has flat out said that this affected their decision. Do you think it will work at some point in time if they keep chipping away at this?
Well, if I were the defense, I'd certainly keep chipping away. I would find it unusual. I think that there is a chance. Let's say this. I give it a 10% chance that it could possibly work in terms of overturning this decision by Judge Toll. But based on her experience, based on the 12-1 information and facts that you have available, and based on the fact of the limited scope that Toll determined based on her understanding of the law, I just don't know how it could be overturned. But I'll give it a 10% chance. You never know what these appellate courts will do.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.